This is Indio Radio. You're listening to That MMA Show.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of That MMA Show here on Indio Radio. I am your host, as always, Jeremy Johnson. And guys, today, I'm just going to say it, this is going to be one of my favorite shows because we are talking to a legend today. And I mean literal legend. And that is going to be the UFC Hall of Famer, Ken Shamrock. We will be talking all about the good old days and what's coming up with his new bare knuckle fight that's going to go down. And that's going to be crazy. I mean, because Ken is, he's been around this sport literally since day one. Back when they called it no holds barred, back whenever there was pancrase in Japan, which was, you know, basically like shoot fighting where you did submissions and, you know, there was no gloves or nothing like that, man. I mean, he has been there and around for the whole thing. So that will be a whole lot of fun today. We are also going to be talking about, or we're actually going to be talking to, Susie Mama Beast Wyatt, who is one of the top amateurs in the country at the moment. And get this, guys, she's almost 50. Grandmother. But she fights like a beast, and that's why they call her Mama Beast. So we are going to bring her on today also to talk about her upcoming fight and all of the cool stuff that she does, man. She is pretty amazing to watch. I mean, she's got mad skills, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt. I mean, just awesome stuff. And then, of course, we'll always do our favorite segments the week that was, our Twitter shout-outs, and, of course, our calendar of events, because there is a whole bunch to talk about this week with basically, everyone in the main event of UFC 183 being suspended or testing positive or basically having their fight done to a no contest now. So, I mean, it just went crazy. That's right. Anderson Silva has tested positive for steroids. Gotta love it. And, of course, Nick Diaz got pot for marijuana, but we all knew that was coming, so not a big deal there. But you know what, guys, we have just got a ton to do today, so I mean, it is just going to be flowing. So remember to follow us on Twitter at That MMA Show, or on Facebook, facebook.com/That MMA Show. And you know what, guys, we are going to be jumping into the interviews here just a couple of minutes, so you know what? You stick with us. While you're at it, go check out our friends at War Tape. They are one of the premier hand wrapping tapes for anything athletic out there. Go check them out at warworldwide.com. They are there for all of your athletic tape needs. They have all kinds of cool products, too, from hand wraps to clothing. You know, you see me a lot on Instagram. I post a lot of stuff of theirs, of jobs that I do as a cut man. And so, you know what? If you work in a corner, you work anything from boxing to mixed martial arts, or any sport, really, for that matter, you need to go check them out at warworldwide.com. All right, guys, that is going to, you know, we're just going to jump right into it here. So stick with us, because we're jumping into Susie Mama Beast Wyatt coming up next right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count one, two, three. You better watch your back, because I'm crossing the lane.
Start it up.
Just turn it on.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
Back at it here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. Now, you know, guys, I don't always have a lot of amateur fighters on my show. We do a whole lot of pros, but you know what? This one's a little different. And I know that most everyone out there who follows women's MMA is going to know this name whenever I say it, and that is Mama Beast. That's right. With me right now, I have Susie Mama Beast Wyatt. Susie, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
Well, Susie, I really do appreciate you joining us today. You know, like I said, I don't do a whole lot of amateur interviews, but it's been a long time coming. We've done a couple of video ones, but I've never actually had you on the show, so I wanted to have you on today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So now, Susie, for everyone out there who maybe hasn't heard of you or just seen the stats or the write-ups or all the awards that you've won or all that cool stuff, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am now 49 and a half years old. I started doing a little bit of kickboxing when I was like 45. I have a tendency to want to be the best at anything that I start, and started with the kickboxing, looked across the hall, saw some jiu-jitsu, thought, ooh, I can do that. You throw the jiu-jitsu and the kickboxing together, that's MMA. So Jesse Finney, who runs Shamrock FC, I started harassing he and Rob Doniker about, you know, I want to do that. I want to fight. I want to do that. And they're like, no, Susie, you're too old. Your, you know, medicals will never pass. And I'm like, I'm in better shape than all these kids. you know, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Finally, it took me, I don't know. I had been training maybe 6 months or something, which I thought was this great, great long time, you know?
So now, okay. So training only 6 months and you're already talking about mixed martial arts fights. That's incredible. Susie, I mean, literally what brought you to the point of you wanting to do something like this?
Once again, when I do something, I want to do it to the fullest extent. I mean, I was going, it was Brittany Anik. She was our 115, our only female fighter at that time. I saw Brittany doing this and it looked like so much fun. I'm all about having fun. And they got up there and everybody was screaming and arm bars and punching and hands raised and music. And it looked like so much. I can do that. I can do that. So, you know, they kept not letting me do it. I started competing in jiu-jitsu. I thought, you know, if I can show these guys that I can win, you know, maybe they'll let me fight. And I started competing in jiu-jitsu and winning and winning and winning and winning. Finally, you know, yeah, they let me have my chance.
Now, that's what I find so interesting is you are a very legit Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. And, I mean, you train under one of the best in the world. But, I mean, you're a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. That's one, and I don't mean to be mean, but that's awesome to hear at your age. And the fact that, you know, you train under such an amazing person. Talk a bit about your jiu-jitsu background.
I started training. I trained with Ezra Lennon, who is, you know, amazing world-class athlete. I just so blessed to be able to train under him. And he puts up with me. I'm crazy. I am just not a normal human being. I wear a bright pink gi. I very flamboyant. I'm not your laid back jiu-jitsu girl, you know, and he just puts up with me and is just, you know, always there at every fight, cornering me, just awesome, awesome guy. But I just felt like as far as MMA goes, I've only got, you know, so much time. Jiu-jitsu, I honestly and truly feel that, you know, I'll be doing jiu-jitsu until they drag me off the mats when I'm 120. You know, I'll still be rolling against those 20-year-olds,
nice.
You know. But I just, I know that jiu-jitsu is there for me. It's something that I'll do for the rest of my life. It may take me until I'm 90 years old to get my black belt, but I will get my black belt. God bless Ezra for putting up with me.
All right, so now let's talk about this because you brought up something very interesting. You are literally, when you fight, some of these kids are half your age. And so what is their thoughts? What is the respect level? What is it like to go in there against someone, you know, who is half your age? And believe me, I've seen you fight people. There is no one out there half her age, doesn't matter who, that really, I mean, it's kind of scary to watch, guys. You have to go see some of her action sometime whenever she fights. So,
Susie, stick with me because we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of Susie Mama Beast Wyatt coming right back in here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back because I'm crossing the lane. It's starting up. Just turn it up.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
And we're back here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show, and we are talking to Susie Mama Beast Wyatt. We were talking a little bit about how it's like to have to fight people, you know, considerably younger than you.
For me, I have no fear. Most of the people, they're not only younger than I am, but they're more experienced than I am. Usually the people that I go against have been training some sort of martial arts since they were a kid. Whether it was, you know, karate or jiu-jitsu or boxing, whatever. Usually these girls that I go against, you know, maybe they're in their mid to late 20s. But, you know, I even fought a girl, I think she was like ranked Olympic in judo or something. I don't know, she's pretty amazing. But I don't fear them. I've been teaching group fitness since I was 16 years old. I'm an athlete. I might not have the skill level that some of these younger kids do, but I know that I'm stronger and I know that I have more determination and I know that I have more heart.
That is definitely it. The heart is amazing to watch, but your talent is also up there with a whole lot. I mean, it really is. So what really interests me, though, is one, the branding. You have come up with the Mama Beast brand. I mean, as I said, I did not introduce her as Susie Wyatt. I introduced her as Susie Mama Beast Wyatt. So talk a bit about what it's like to go from Susie Wyatt to Mama Beast, because Mama Beast does a whole lot of things out there in the world.
She's crazy, man. I'm that girl. I just am really blessed. I got the name at the gym. I I'm training with all these young kids, and I have four kids and a grandson that train at Finney's MMA. You can't go into a room at the gym that there isn't some blood relative of mine. And then, like, all the younger kids, all the jiu-jitsu kids, all run around calling me mama. I was training with Claire Quattrochi one night, and people always call me a beast. And she's like, that's it. You're a mama beast. And it just stuck. And I think it's really important as a fighter to bring people in. I mean, if especially as an amateur fighter, if I don't sell tickets, if I don't have people coming in to see me, what am I doing for the companies that let me come in and fight, that let me practice my craft? You know, I think it's really important for us as fighters, especially amateurs, to promote the companies that we fight for, promote ourselves. We need to bring people with us. And that's kind of how it all came about. I got with a guy, James Fruth. He's an amazing graphic artist. Told him what I wanted. He came up with my logo. And I have a little bit of a flair for social media, and I like attention.
That she does, guys. So what I want you to do right now is go check out mamabeast.com, and you can see all of Susie's, where you can follow her on Twitter, on Facebook, all of those good social media outlets. But Susie, the other thing that I've noticed really about you is that your philanthropy side is pretty cool. You do a lot of work with children. You do a lot of work around the community. Talk about what it's been like to take the Mama Beast persona, bring it to, I mean, you just did an assembly for, you know, 700 kids at a school on bullying. I mean, you've really taken on the role model role, so to speak. What's it like to be feeling that you are the role model for these kids out there today?
I think it's really important for anybody who's in the public eye. I honestly, in the public eye or not in the public eye, I think it's important to be a good role model for other human beings. I mean, I hear a lot of this stuff about, you know, some of these bigger athletes that are, you know, testing positive for this or doing this or, you know, whatever. And, you know, oh, they hold athletes to a higher standard. And, you know, I'm sorry. I don't see that. As a human being, if, you know, you need to be a role model for anyone around you. It's, you should try to be the best person that you possibly can. I just happen to have like a bunch of little kids following me. I mean, when I walk out at Fight Hard, I've got 30 kids walking me out. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. Whenever you guys see her in the Midwest area, she fights for Fight Hard MMA, which we've had on a couple of times, also for Shamrock Fighting Championships. But I hear that there's talk about possibly going pro soon. Just talk a little bit about what the future holds for Mama Beast.
Well, as I have stated, I like to do things to the fullest extent. I have been in this business for about 4 years now, since I first started kickboxing. And, you know, I'm going to be 50 in June. I want to get everything out of this experience that I can. I do believe that I am strong enough. I do believe that I am good enough to have at least one or two pro fights before I retire. So
That's awesome to hear, because, I mean, you legitimately, I have been around the Invicta world, XFC, and all of that. I have seen you fight. I think that you can be a legitimate person as a pro in women's MMA today. I don't see an issue with it whatsoever, and I'm looking forward to it. So, now, one more thing, though, before we go. You got a fight coming up. Talk about it.
Yes, I do. I'm very excited. March 21st for Shamrock FC. I've actually taken some time off over Christmas, healed up all my injuries, been working on some new game. Just really looking forward to going out there, fighting here at home, having my crew around me, and just really excited about that next fight.
Awesome. Tell everybody how they can find you on social media.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So, Susie Mama Beast Wyatt on Facebook. Twitter, it's the_mama_beast. Instagram, which everyone loves, the Mama Beast. And just find me everywhere. I will talk to you. If you talk to me, I will talk to you back. I like interacting with the fans. I just, if you want stickers, I'll send you stickers. If you want pictures, I'll send you pictures. You know, I love the interaction. I love it all. So yeah, get a hold of me.
All right, guys. Susie Mama Beast Wyatt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, because stick with us because we have a huge one coming up next, and that is going to be UFC Hall of Famer Ken Shamrock right here on Indio Radio with That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back because I'm crossing the lane. It's just turn it on. Get ready.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
Back at it here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. Now, guys, this is an interview that I've been looking forward to for so long because this is truly one of my favorite legends of this sport. And he has literally been there since day one. I mean, even before day one in the Pancras days. And that is Ken Shamrock. Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. And thank you for the introduction. It's always great to be on the be able to speak with all the fans who've followed me for so long. It's really appreciated. Thank you.
Well, I greatly appreciate actually being on the show, Ken. I mean, it's something that we always love to have, you know, the legend of the sport, and you are truly one of the first and foremost legends of this sport.
Well, I thank you for that, and it has been an honor.
Well, now, Ken, so now for everyone out there, you literally came from the Pancras days into the world of mixed martial arts, and you were there, I mean, in the beginning, the whole Royce Gracie mega fights and things like that in the original UFCs. Talk about what it was like back in the day and what the sport has really evolved from since then.
Well, you know, it's crazy, too, because it's hard for people to really understand what I had to do to train. It seems so simple for people because if you've never been to the moon, and I think that's probably the only thing you compare it to other than going to Japan back in the early 90s and late 80s and being on a subway train, getting lost and then trying to ask for directions. Nothing's in English. Nobody speaks English. I think the moon and being in Japan are probably pretty close other than the interaction with human beings. But really, when it came to training, that's what it was like for me. Because I was over in Japan 2.5 years before they started anything about mixed martial arts here in the States. And so when I went over there, I heard about it. I started training for it. I went over to Florida to train with some of the guys they had up there. And really, I went through those guys pretty easy, too, because I could wrestle and I could street fight. And so the skill level was never even close to what they had in Japan. And then when I went over there and I did my tryout there, I whipped my butt over and over again. And I came back here, and then about two months later, I'm over in Japan fighting my first fight. And I ended up beating the guy. But I remember the very first year of training, I would go home and I would try to find ways to train. I'd bring guys in that were wrestlers. I would bring in guys that did karate or boxing. And I would tell them, hey, I'm going to try to take you down. They'd look at me like I was stupid. Like, no, we don't do that. And so I couldn't even do that. So I had to spar with guys that were boxing, kickboxing, which, you know, I didn't do very well because most of them were better than me with the combination and the movement and all that, but I did it because I need to get my level up there. And then I remembered on the ground, I would wrestle takedowns with wrestlers and judo guys and things of that nature, but my submission skills were very, very limited. But even as limited as they were, I was schooling these guys with leg locks. And so I really wasn't getting much of a workout, but there was nowhere for me to go. I mean, I had it developed. People to train with me, and it took me a year to develop a team or people around me that I could actually start getting training with. And I had to stay over in Japan at times to be able to train and get ready for the bigger fights because it was nowhere here for me to train. I couldn't get people to come in and train with me because they didn't know what it was. So the experience during those days has been just almost like unexplainable for people to understand what it is I had to go through to prepare for fights. And I remember the trying to educate these guys on this kind of training. And it was really like you see today, punch, punch, shoot, take them down, kick,
right.
kick, shoot, fake a punch, shoot, or fake a shot and punch. All those things I did first. I developed those things, and sometimes it's even like the calf cutter, where people use that, as wrestlers use that quite a bit. I developed that. I mean, there's so many things that you can look at, which I don't really have looked at it up until recently, about all the things that I had developed for my training that is now used, but obviously now you see it's so much more technical and it's a lot more advanced than what I was doing, obviously.
Well, sure, but I mean,
the development of it.
But I mean, look at those ways that, you know, you came back in the days whenever, I know, I mean, fighting like guys like Boss Rutten and Pancrase too, and, you know, taking the knee bars and the heel hooks that nobody had seen really before, and just using those. I mean, you really were the one who basically brought that to the forefront.
It was fun too, and I enjoyed it, but, you know, it's great to see. It's like a grandpa watching his grandson grow up and watched his dad teaching the same things that his dad taught him, but better. Like my ceiling was his floor. And then same with the grandson, which is his dad, his ceiling would be his grandson's floor. And just watching this thing develop and know that I had something to do with it.
That is cool.
All right, Ken, stick with us because we got to take a quick break. But, man, I am loving this. We are with Ken Shamrock, UFC MMA legend. Stick with us right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back, cause I'm crossing the lane.
Start it up,
just turn it on. Get ready.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
Back at it here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show, and we are talking to MMA legend Ken Shamrock.
Now tell me then, what is it like that, you know, you're over in Japan and you're doing all that work, and then now you get this call from this crazy guy, Art Davey, and he goes, hey, you know what, we're coming up with this new sport, basically, and, you know, we want you to be a part of it. What was that like whenever you, because I know that you fought literally in Japan like 8-10 days before the UFC kicked off, right?
Three days.
3 days, right.
3 days.
So what was that like then to get that phone call and go, you know what, yeah, sure, why not, let's try it?
Well, it was weird because I know it was brought to my attention by one of my students. And so I said an old fart on it. I was over in Japan. It was here in the U.S. And I was like, okay, let me call. But I'm almost sure it's pro wrestling. And so I made some calls. I got a call back from Art Davies. And he wanted to know my background. And I explained it to him. And he said, well, let me give you a call back. And he called me back an hour later. I mean, it was quick.
Wow.
He had done some research on me and found out what I was doing. And he was called me back. He said, well, you're exactly what we're looking for. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I wanted to hear what he had to say. And he pretty much told us, you know, it was no rules, you know, no time limit. You go in and actually you can kick him in the head on the ground. You can, you know, what's the deal? And he just said, there's no rules. And if the only thing is there's no eye gouging and no biting, but if you do, the fight doesn't stop. They just fine you. And I thought to myself, that's kind of weird. Okay. But the whole time I just didn't think it was real. And there's no way that can happen here in the United States.
Right.
It's
exactly.
It just cannot happen. And, so I went ahead with my title fight, a title defense. Against Fouquet in Japan, and I remember I went in there and I knocked Fouquet out with a knee. I won my fight. Yeah, I was patting myself on the back, people. I wanted you to know I won my fight. So I know that wasn't subtle. I did that. I defended my title. I fly into Denver, Colorado 3 days before the event.
Oh,
now,
man.
Denver is high, right?
I mean, oh, yes, it is.
Way up there. You got to prepare for that. And I just, in my mind the whole time I'm just thinking that it's not going to be real. They're going to ask me to do something and I'm going to decline. And so I go just to see where it comes from, and we get there and, you know, we have the press conference and we punch each other, punches are, and things start unfolding, but not one time did anybody ever say it wasn't going to be real. And I remembered being in the locker room and all the way up to the fight. And I remember they came and they told me, hey, you know, you can't wear your shoes. And I was like, what?
No,
you can't. Now, I never not wore shoes.
Right.
It was always wrestling shoes. That's how I did my submission. That's how I wrestled in high school. I mean, I always wore shoes. And they came to me like that night and said, listen, you can't wear shoes because if you kick them, those laces, you know, could hurt them. And I was like thinking to myself, what are you talking about? This is like no rules. And they're like, yeah, but we gotta keep it to safety and this and that. And so, right.
But no rules, but safety. Gotta love that.
Yeah, whatever, right? And you're just thinking, okay, that's all it is. That's great. So I said, okay, you know, and I get in and I move around with no shoes on. It's slick. But I think to myself, there's no one here that's even going to match my skills. Even though I knew about what he did, but it just, when I watched him, he just didn't look impressive.
Right.
And so I figured I was just going to smash him. I walked around in pajamas. I just crush him. And so when I went in and, I remembered, he had his gi on, and I had mentioned like, you know, he's wearing his gi. Okay, cool. I didn't know what that gi meant, right?
Sure.
And I would have said something before the fight. But I go into the fight and we go after it. I take him down. I got his heel in my arm. And I'm getting ready to sit back, and I got him dead right. I mean, I literally got him, and I know it. All I got to do is just sit back. He's mine. And he wraps his gi around my arm, right? And in most cases, I wasn't worried about it because I was strong. I could pull through anybody, you know. I would get through and get what I wanted. I'd use my knee and his crotch, use that for leverage to pull my arm out, and then I'd have his leg. Well, as I sat back, that gi stuck to my arm. And it was almost like it was like a glue because
wow.
I was sweaty a little bit. So when I tried to pull, I couldn't get it out, and I pulled him up on top of me, even though I still had his ankle. And so he started striking open into my head, which wasn't hurting, but I knew I had to move and try to get out of that. As I was trying to move, my feet were slipping. And I went ahead and just turned my hips while I had his leg. And as I was turning, he wrapped his gi around my throat. And he started choking with it, and I was like, no problem, I'll reach up and I'll just rip it off. You know, there's no one's going to choke me. So I reached up and went to rip it off, and it was a rope. It was a rope around my neck.
Wow.
And I was like, wait a minute, this is a rope. Like, he's choking me with a rope. And I'm thinking to myself, and this is split second stuff, right?
Right.
And I tap. I start to tap, which, you know, I, even to this day when I watch it, I'm thinking, I don't tap. Like, I just tap. And I watched over and over again, and I remember thinking to myself during that moment, and you can watch that first one where I stayed on my knees, and I was looking up at the ref as he's pointing me, saying, and the horse is pointing me, saying, you tap. And I all, during that time, what was going through my mind was, he used a weapon. he choked me with a rope. And they took my shoes away. Wait a minute. And this is all happening within like, you know, 3-4 seconds. All this is going through my head, like, this isn't, something's not right here. Something's not right here.
Oh, Ken, that is awesome.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know what? I remembered after the fight, I told him, yeah, I tapped, you know, I did. But I remember thinking the whole time was like, man, I got screwed on that. They took away my shoes, said it was a weapon, it's no holds barred, he choked me with the rope. And I was really, really, really angry for a long time. And I remembered I told myself at that after fight party where he's prancing around with the belt saying there's a new sheriff in town. They were showing off, and I remember thinking to myself, and I said, you know what, that will never happen again. And I remembered I made it my vendetta to go after him, and I went after him. I even turned down a world title that I could have walked in and just crushed this guy for the title, but because Hoist Gracie wasn't in the finals, I stepped away because I had lost all interest in fighting anybody. I was depressed because I had my opportunity to make things right and he backed out of the fight because he was exhausted. I was so irritated and so angry.
I do remember that one, yes. I do remember that one. Now,
I was so angry.
All right, Ken, stick with us because we got to take a quick break. But, man, this is good stuff. So join us right back with more of Ken Shamrock right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count one, two, three. You better watch your back because I'm crossing the lane.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
And we are back here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show, and we are talking to UFC and MMA legend Ken Shamrock. He's going to have a big bare-knuckle fight coming up, but we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So now, Ken, as all of this has culminated through, and you've seen how mixed martial arts is today, and you have been through such, you know, the huge part of it, what do you think of the UFC or mixed martial arts in general, because we know the things with UFC. I mean, UFC Hall of Famer, gotta love it, but I know that you've always had some issues in the background. But what do you think of mixed martial arts today, the athletes of today versus the athletes of, you know, the beginning?
Apples and oranges. I mean, you know, you take those athletes back in my time and you put them in today's standards, I believe that they rise to the top. That's just the nature of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they rise to the top and they still become world champions because they do the work they need to do to get to where they're at. You take the guys today and put them back in where we're at. I think you get the same result. You get people who, not all of them, I think the guys that are on top, yes. The ones that, you know, kind of need the rules and need help with the rules in order for them to get into the ring, like having gloves,
sure.
Having rounds. It protects them to a point. So, some of them wouldn't do that. That's just too much risk for them. But a lot of these guys that are world champions, I believe they would just because that's who they are. They rose to the top.
That's their drive.
And, so I really believe that each individual during their era that became world champions and dominated their class or their event would do the same thing in any era because that's their nature is to be a champion.
Very cool. All right, now, I am talking with UFC and MMA legend in general, Ken Shamrock. Now, Ken, okay, we have to get to this because it when I saw this come across the news media and all of the info that we get on press releases and things like that, you are now going back old school, let's say, and taking on James Quinn McDonough and a bare-knuckle fight, and that's going to go down. Has there been a date set yet? And talk about how this came about.
No, there hasn't been a date set. I know there's some months they've been looking at, but nothing set yet. I think what they're doing is they're looking at the venue. We've got a couple of venues that are interested, that want to put the fight on. That's a great problem to have.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we have pay-per-view that's going to be involved with this. I believe one of them is, and I'm not positive on it, but I believe it's in demand. So don't quote me on that because
sure.
I'm not sure. There's a couple, pay-per-view companies that are interested in what we're doing. And so all of them have to come together with a date that is going to be best for everybody. So we're looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. I believe that bare-knuckle is something that, everybody has wanted since the beginning days of MMA or NHB. It's what people want. They've always said, stand them up. And it's always been said, even today they say it. Stand them up.
Sure.
So we're going to stand them up, and we're going to give them what they want.
You know what, Ken? I think that is going to be, it's going to be too much fun to watch because, you know, it, as you said, it's the old way. It is the, everybody does. They scream, stand them up in the cage every time somebody goes to the ground. So this one will be really fun to watch, and I cannot wait to see it. And I'm hoping once the date gets announced, I can get you back on the show and we can talk a little more about it.
I'd love to.
Awesome. So now, Ken, tell everyone out there how they can find you on social media, follow along, and know everything that's going on in the world of Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, my social media is kenshamrock.com. That's my website. There's a contact on there that you can go through. I have a blog on there. We're doing a weekly blog. It has I'll write a column on there, and with the column, we'll have videos of my training. We'll have pictures of my training. And you can go to the contact page and make comments on my training. and I will comment back. Love to hear your thoughts. Love for you to get on this ride with me. It's going to be an enjoyable ride. And don't miss it, man, because I tell you what, this is going to be an event that's going to launch a new event. This event is going to give people what they want. Stand up and fight.
I cannot wait,
Bare
Ken. I cannot
Bare
wait. Bare knuckle, exactly. We're going to make that happen. So, Ken Shamrock, thank you so much for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Listen, I also, too, want to plug my drink. I got a drink
of course.
Out there. It's for elite athletes, and it's also for just people who want to stay fit. It's called Shamrock Slam, and I have a website for it, shamrockslam.com. Go to that website. Check out this drink. I'm telling you. And I'm not bragging. I believe you look at the drink, see what's in it, taste it. It will sell itself.
Awesome. I will go check that out. Shamrock, it is going to be awesome. Check them out, their new energy drink. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I appreciate it, you guys. Thank you, and God bless.
All right, guys, and we'll be right back with more Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count 1, 2, 3. You better watch your back, cause I'm crossing the lane.
Start it up,
just turn it on. Get ready.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.
And we're back here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show. And man, you know what? It has been an interesting week of drug issues. That's right. Because we are going to bring it all to you right now in our favorite segments. The week that was our Twitter shoutouts and, of course, our calendar of events. So this week we are starting out, of course, with UFC 183 went down. And, of course, the main event has been the biggest news out there was Anderson Silva taking on Nick Diaz, to which they both tested positive for drugs. Yep, gotta love that. So Anderson Silva has now basically tested positive for two different types of steroids in his system, and Nick Diaz tested positive for marijuana, which we all pretty much knew. But Silva's bout was turned over this week. The win is now a no contest. Very interesting. You know, John Jones does cocaine, but since it's not on the banned list, his bout stands. So kind of a double standard, maybe? I don't know. What do you think? Let us know on Twitter, at That MMA Show, or on Facebook, facebook.com/That MMA Show. Also this week, John Fitch tested positive for steroids at his World Series of Fighting match, which, man, what the hell, people? I mean, really, it's time to either lay off the juice, make it illegal, or make it legal for everybody, or find something that, you know, can't be fixed. So, you know what? I'm going to try to get Victor Conte on again. If you guys don't remember Victor Conte, he actually ran a company called Balco and assisted in a whole bunch of Major League Baseball players' steroids. They came out with what was called the cream and the clear at that point in time, and it was virtually undetectable. Well, he is a guru of all things nutrition and performance level, so we may have to have him on the show again pretty soon. I'm looking forward to that. So, all right, guys, that is really going to do it for the week that was, because we did go so long with Ken this week. But that is going to bring us to our Twitter shout-out of the week, and it is going to be my friends at War Worldwide. They are the premier sports and athletic tape. We use it all the time in mixed martial arts and boxing for wrapping hands. Find them at War Worldwide on Twitter or at their website, where you can place an order for all kinds of cool things, from tape to hand wraps to hats to anything like that. And check them out at www.warworldwide.com. That is www.warworldwide.com. And that is our Twitter shout out of the week. And now on to our calendar of events. And this week we are starting tonight in St. Louis, Missouri. That is going to be Fight Hard MMA. They go down at the Family Arena. Doors open at 5:30. That'll be a lot of fun. If you want some tickets real quick, you hit me up and I will make sure that you get them at That MMA Show on Twitter. And then it's going to be on the 12th. We are looking at World Series of Fighting 18 going down in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Also, February 13th, Bellator 133, Manhoff versus Shlemenko. I cannot wait for that one. That one's going to be awesome. And then on Valentine's Day, a lot of love there. We're going to see Henderson versus Thatch in Bloomfield, Colorado. I hope those guys are working on their cardio up there. And then on the 22nd, it is UFC Fight Night 61, and this one's going to be awesome. It is going to be Anderson Bigfoot, Antonio Bigfoot Silva. See, I got Anderson Silva on the mind after the whole drug thing. Taking on Frank Mir. Cannot wait for that one. It'll be a lot of fun, and that is going to do it. So, all right, guys, I have got to wrap the show up today. I mean, it has went quick, so got to love it. Thank you very much to Susie Mama Beast Wyatt. Check her out at her website. We'll have that listed and tweeted out here in just a bit. And also to Ken Shamrock. We greatly appreciate you sticking with us for all that time. So, all right, guys, remember, as we say it every week, we bring you the best in local, regional, national, and international fighting action. So remember, fight clean, fight hard, fight fair, and we'll see you next week right here on Indio Radio and That MMA Show.
Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count one, two, three. You better watch your back, because I'm crossing the lane.
Start it up.
Just turn it on. Get ready.
You're listening to That MMA Show. This is Indio Radio.